It's Boss Rail Radio, episode 108. I am Griffin Hoffman, and with me this week is Ryan Fielder.
That's me.
Andrew Poppin.
How's it going?
And Matt Lake.
I'm here.
Matt Lake.
He's here.
Yes, Griffin Hoffman.
How you been?
I've been bored.
You've been boring?
I've been bored.
I haven't
played enough games.
Haven't seen you guys in a while.
Right?
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's real life.
Real life?
Mm.
I don't exist in that realm.
Choose to not be. Hey, let's just jump into this since, you know, no doubt it's been a while, so we do have some things to talk about. Anybody want to take it away to begin with?
I elect you.
Me?
Yes.
Okay.
Take it away.
I played some video games. I played that game Guacamelee. Matt, you played a bit of that too.
Yeah, I played a little bit with you.
Guacamelee?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my
God,
I want guacamole now.
No.
I need like some fresh guac. Yeah.
You can have guacamelee.
Want some guacamole? You got to fight over at the guacamole,
like guacamole
man.
That you fight with.
Yeah, Smash Bros. Guacamelee. It's a Metroidvania style game. I don't know. You may have heard of it for PlayStation only. It's pretty good. No.
Okay. If it's for PlayStation only, I haven't heard of it.
Yep.
Well, hey, I would recommend it because it's good.
Did you beat it?
I didn't.
You should describe it.
I played it a bit after we played it, Matt, and I kind of just stopped after that. It's a Metroidvania style game, so that means it is like a puzzle platformer.
Yeah.
But the puzzles all hinge upon opening up new areas in the map based on abilities you acquire through the course of the game.
So it's like classic Metroid, not like Metroid Prime, not FPS.
Yeah, it's like classic. Well, I mean, you know, but it's not first person. It's a 2D game.
Uh-huh.
Side-scrolling 2D, similar to old school Castlevania or Metroid.
What does the name have to do?
Guacamelee.
A lot of food-based things? Or?
No, it's Mexican-themed.
Yes, all right.
You're a luchador, and you get special luchador wrestling moves like suplexes and sweet, crazy punches and kicks and stuff.
You wear a mask?
You do. You're a luchador.
Yeah.
What else would you be?
Yeah, I don't know.
What would you
Maybe
wear?
Maybe they just smeared guacamole all over their face. And...
the mask is... I thought it was green, but I think it's actually blue.
Blue guacamole.
It's
a little
blue
food
mask.
Coloring.
Yes. Blue. It's blue mask.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a lot of green mask. In the game, though.
A lot of punching and green colors.
Yeah, punching and green colors. It's got this like really cool, unique Day of the Dead style art. There are a ton of internet meme and video game references as like art in the background. Like you'll be running into an area. And there'll be little houses in there that have, like, wanted posters and stuff on it or, like, promo art for a wrestle event that's going to happen later. And that is, like, it's Batman and Bane, but it doesn't explicitly say their names. It just has their pictures.
Huh.
So there's a ton of that.
Mm-hmm.
Matt and I did a video for it. So.
Is it a an arcade game or is it actually, like, a... disc you buy?
It's $15 on the PlayStation Network.
Okay.
If you buy it there, you also get it for the Vita, and your saves can transfer between the two of them. So that's pretty cool.
Anybody here have a Vita?
I wish.
I haven't gotten into handheld gaming since the Game Boy Advance. So
if you mean do I have a life, then no. No, I don't.
No, a Vita, not a Vita.
If that thing came down in price.
So no to both of them.
Yeah.
I would happily buy one.
Yeah, yeah.
If it came with the PlayStation 3, I'd probably get it.
Yeah.
So,
anything else?
You played the guacamole.
Played guacamole. It's a very good game.
Did you make guacamole while you were playing guacamole?
No, I didn't. But it definitely pushes me in the direction of tacos and whatnot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I could go for a chimichanga.
Just stop, guys. Just stop. I'm really hungry.
It's got good music too. I don't know. There's not much to say about the game because Metroidvania, I believe, covers it completely.
Kind of been played out.
It's an indie arcade platformer with an art style, and it's really good.
Okay.
Like, that's what it is.
Gotcha.
If that's not already selling you on it, then there's nothing I can say that will.
Fair enough.
Is it like mariachi music?
Yeah, absolutely. 100% mariachi music, but yeah, with like some weird kind of techno infusion.
Techno mariachi.
Yeah. Well, one of the things one of the abilities you get in the game is to switch between the living world and the world of the dead, which in gameplay terms just means you bring certain walls and platforms into existence,
uh-huh,
and then remove them, or you know, you're basically switching between obstacle world and not obstacle world. But when you switch, the music also changes. So basically, when you're in regular music, it's like full sound. I don't know enough about music to describe it. But then when you switch to Day of the Dead world, it's like you're only listening to treble. There's no other anything there. Like, there's no bass, nothing. Everything just sounds weirdly inverted.
Like tinny?
Super tinny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like bad speakers.
Yes, absolutely.
That's kind of cool.
I love me some treble.
It's a very good game. If you have a PlayStation 3, you should be playing it.
Okay.
Because there's nothing else to play.
That's true.
I also played Evoland. I played that on my Macintosh computer.
Really?
Yeah. I got it on Steam. It's kind of a, I guess not so unique anymore, but it's kind of fits in this like parody game realm where it is delightfully aping the lifespan of action RPGs. So you start the game and you're like in a really thin, like 16x9 band of black and white pixels where all you can do is run left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And you open these treasure chests, and you open the chest, and the chest then says, like, you've discovered the left arrow. So then you move, and you get the left key, and it's like, you've discovered full screen. And you're progressing through this, like, opening these treasure chests that's like, you've discovered 8-bit color. And then, you know, the whole screen gets washed in with pixelated color. And, you know, the more you play, the more chests that you find through the little quest areas, like, the more it evolves, get it?
Got it.
Into modern day action RPGs. So at the point I'm at now, it's essentially Diablo 1.
Oh,
where
I see.
You've got like a
so it's like a history lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, tongue in cheek about it, and that it's like, hey, you've discovered
it should start as pieces. A text-based game, though.
Yeah, it's all text-based, and it's all very fast. You know, I've played it for maybe 2 to 3 hours, and I feel like I'm most of the way through it. It's $10, so probably not
PS3
worth
too
it.
Expensive.
For the personal computer or Macintosh computing device, it's, you know, I've hit a few speed bumps in the game where I'm like, either this is a joke where they're like, hey, this part of the game is a pain in the ass because you have to grind a bunch,
mm-hmm,
or it's just really freaking hard, and like that's part of the joke of like, oh, RPGs are a pain in the ass and require a lot of grinding.
Uh-huh.
But that joke does not make a good game. So, you know, it's kind of towing the line between reverence, humor, and not the best game design. So, I'd like to finish it, but I don't know how much more to that game there is. It's just, it is what it is, you know? You know, man?
Yeah, I'm probably not going to play it.
Okay.
It looked kind of gimmicky to me when I saw it.
It is definitely gimmicky. 100%. And then I played a bunch of iOS games, because, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Played Gemini Rue, which is an adventure game.
Is that only? I thought that was for. That's not only iOS. Is
no,
it
no. is. Okay. It's. I think last year it came out on PC, and it doesn't have a Mac port. Even though I really, really want to play it, and that's the only way I'd be able to. So I downloaded it for the iOS, and I played, you know, first, honestly, like 10 minutes of it, and I would like to play more, but I will tell you, the iOS device is probably not the best way to do it. Like, they make concessions in how to navigate environments and do the click on stuff things in combat, but so far I would rather be playing that on a PC, like with a mouse and stuff, or
maybe I'll play it. It's a point and click adventure game, yeah, set like in like a near future, kind of like a Blade Runner
thing,
right? Yeah.
Yep. But like with a really quaint kind of 2D art style that muddy, I think, is a mean way to describe, is a, you know, derogative way to describe it, but that's just kind of how it looks.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And honestly, that's it. As far as I can remember, just there isn't anything to play right now, guys.
I don't know.
Au contraire. Well, I was out of the internet. You know, I had that downtime.
I learned
French. OUI.
So I discovered my old love, and there's about 15 new Pinball FX2 tables.
I'm glad somebody else plays that game.
Oh, I've been bumping some balls around, to say the least. Yeah, there was like 8 new Marvel tables and then a bunch of random tables, and it's been taking up some time of mine.
You should play Pinball Arcade because it's way better.
I don't know.
It's way better.
I've played
it. So much better.
I mean, those are real tables. Yes. I want the fake, like, awesome, crazy fantasy tables that do ridiculous things.
But they don't go far enough, and the physics always feel wrong.
The new ones like kind of do some crazy stuff.
They don't go far enough?
Yeah, like, if I'm going to have dumb, crazy tables, like, I want
There's a
dumbest
part in one of the Marvel tables where everything gets turned upside down.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is pretty crazy.
And then there's also a part on that same table where your flippers are always up and you have to hold the button down to make them go down and
like
let go.
That just sounds like a pain in the ass.
It's super confusing.
It's crazy.
It's really hard.
You really just end up clicking. Like, I'm
just
like,
failing. Ah. Yeah. I fail.
Huh.
But there was one. Did you play the Civil War table?
No. I don't think so.
Is that Marvel Civil War?
Yeah, that's crazy because at the very beginning,
I'm kind of disappointed.
You get a free ball. And you get try to get the highest score possible, and it's like the incident that starts the Civil War. And every time you play from then out, you start with that score on your main.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
But then you're either Iron Man or Captain America, and you're trying to recruit all the other superheroes on either or team.
Huh.
And it's an interesting concept I've never seen before in a pinball game, but it was fun for a while.
Good for them for trying to do something different with pinball. That thing, was it successful?
Maybe not.
It's not the point. It's not the point.
Yeah, at this point, I think I own about 35 of the tables.
Wow.
I think there's still a few left to buy. But
how much does a table cost?
You can get, like, they have packs from, like, 4 tables for 800 or a single table for like 250 points.
It's like, it's like $2 to $5
thing.
Right? Per table-ish.
That's Pinball FX is what I do when it's a game drought. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You should get Pinball Arcade.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Somebody told me about that.
No, they're really good. It's because it's real pinball. And they physically.
Plays a pinball video game and says, this isn't real pinball. Like, well, yeah, it's not real pinball.
It's a video, game.
Because I'd rather play real pins. Like, I'd rather play something that's like, hey, this is out in the real world, and you can actually find this.
You
want to
be acquiring skills?
It's like, hey, I remember being in the airport a ton as a young person and playing a freaking load of Star Trek: The Next Generation table, and that's why I bought that.
I see. So this is like
table,
a nostalgia
like, this
thing.
But then it's also like, this is the exact same. Like, despite the it being in an iOS device in my hands and not being a full size table, like, it controls exactly like it should. All the sounds are spot on. Everything exactly like I remember it, and I can play it forever.
And which is like what everybody always wanted to do.
Yeah, and it's also super cool because you're like, this was real. Like, the ball launches out of the weird probe launchers, and that's how it did in real life, too.
Huh. Okay. What else did you play?
BioShock Infinite. Just a whole lot of BioShock.
What's that game about?
Guns,
racism,
and drinks that give you superpowers.
Baptisms.
Mm. I read like a really long philosophy article about this one. I can't really talk about it. I read it. No big deal.
I wrote it.
I wrote the article and then I read it.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I've been in a place where I want to write a review for it, but then anytime I sit down, I'm like, I have nothing to say. because I feel like everything's already been said.
Yeah.
And hey, here's my audio review for Bioshock Infinite, because this is as far as it's going to go. You should play Bioshock Infinite.
Period. Really?
Everybody should play it.
So what do you like about it? Because I'm honestly underwhelmed.
Oh, you're one of those people.
Well, I'm a little frustrated. Do you want to talk about it first, since it's your turn?
I want to hear your frustrations.
I'm a little frustrated that it... I mean, we knew this was going to happen. We knew that it was not going to be the game that they showed us 2 years ago because of all the crap that happened at that studio. I'm a little frustrated that and this is sad because I can't remember her name. The girl's name.
Elizabeth.
Anna.
I was a little frustrated that she can use her powers with impunity.
Infinitely?
Yeah. Whereas, you remember, like, the first trailer they showed, she...
was exhausted after using it.
Yeah, gets nosebleeds, passes out.
You're going to have to balance between using Elizabeth and maintaining, you know, her health, basically.
Yeah.
Not like, a health bar, but, like, will it morally lead to repercussions later in the game if you exhaust her and utilize her ability to pull stuff into the terrace?
As people who have finished... If you've finished it, right? Are there multiple endings? Okay, so that's another thing that kind of bummed me out, was that Bioshock is, at least Bioshock 1 and 2, we can't say, like, traditionally, has an element of ethics built in.
Which sucked.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's what made it different from every other shooter. You know what I mean? I guess plasmids alone don't really do it for me, because all I'm doing is walking around shooting people.
Yeah,
that's constantly what happens.
If you're in the camp of hey, that gameplay was nothing new or great, then I agree 100% with you.
Which kind of bummed me out because I thought they were gonna add something to it. And even like Bioshock 2 had the added element of the mom, big daddy, big sister, mm-hmm. And like that whole like okay, she's coming, you have to set traps. And like get Big ready mama. For her. Like that was a new thing that they added, and they didn't really add anything new with this game. In fact, they took some stuff out.
Yeah, you have your firemen and your handymen, but you have to kill them. Unlike in the other ones that you didn't have to.
It's really pretty, and it's a really really good story. Well, I don't know if it's really good. It's interesting and compelling. You know, and complicated.
Keep in mind, Matt has not played it. So don't spoil it.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to.
Just work around it if you need to.
Give anything away. It's not really necessary to enjoy the game to. Well, I don't know where I was going with that. I guess I don't feel like the need to spoil it. I can talk. We can talk about it without giving spoilers. But I guess I was just a little frustrated with that. I like it. It's
the frustration
fun.
Was. You liked what was done in Bioshock 1 and 2, and you felt like this game didn't have certain parts of 1 and 2 that you enjoyed, such as Little Sisters and heavy on the morality.
It's just weird. It felt weird. Okay, like there's, you can tell me if this happens again, but there's one part at the very beginning of the game where you do have to choose. There are a couple of them. It's like they didn't really get rid of the first game they made.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Where you have to choose whether to kill the Colonel guy or not. And then what difference does it make in the end?
I think part of this problem is from you not going on this journey, Andy.
What do you mean?
Because there is importance in your choices, but that importance... You don't understand until you finish the game and then you think about what was being told to you about the whole process. Now, do I think it's kind of cheap and a little unearned with some of the things they do? Yes. But I also think that, you know, if everything was done... Well, okay, intentions or not, the game was great. And the things that they did do with it and the things where they said, like, hey... the reason why this is sounding like this, or this is, you have these choices, or why this is here, like, here's the reason for it. Now, I mean, to some extent, yes, it does feel a little cheap, but I also think that if you just take it as the face value of, like, here's how it fits into the story we're trying to tell, I think it's freaking brilliant.
Uh-huh.
In terms of like gameplay in a video game, I can understand how people say like, well, that's dumb. I didn't enjoy that. Like, I get it.
But I'm not saying it's dumb or even bad. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it because it wasn't like Bioshock 1 or 2. Mm. I'm a little disappointed that because Bioshock 1 and 2 had a revolutionary... That's a big word, but...
I'll tell you, Bioshock 2 had nothing revolutionary in it.
That's true. Spin to them? Like, they were trying new things, and I don't feel like this one... Maybe it did in storytelling.
Yeah.
You and I both really appreciate that kind of deep universe uh-huh. where everything works because everything works, and that's the way it happens.
Right.
The plot point is easy to make that everything work. I mean, you can explain anything you want.
Well, yeah. When you say like, "Oh, the answer is magic," then everything right. is thrown out the window. Like, okay, then everything's magic.
Yes.
But I think when I recently read something that was really interesting, which is the cap on my, hey, I don't ever want to write anything about Bioshock sentiment, is on Giant Bomb, Alex Navarro wrote a really good piece on Bioshock, and he wasn't preaching. It was just like, hey, this is what people are saying. This is how I feel about a handful of main points. And one of the things he compared the game to was Inception. And I was like, holy shit, like mm-hmm. that is just the absolute best parallel to draw between this. You know, it creates a world that is well fleshed out, yet also very unreachable and kind of nebulous in nature, where you're like, I want to know more. But if I look too closely, I'll just see all the dots of paint.
Uh-huh.
And then they also, yeah. the ending is almost the same. Of like leaves you having that moment of like wait a second, is it? And
yeah
it just to draw parallels between that and Bioshock, like it's just
that makes sense.
Reinforces that storytelling is what this game does so well.
Uh-huh.
Now maybe a first person shooter isn't the best venue for this, maybe not the best medium, but then on the other hand, why not? It worked fine, I think.
That's an excellent point. It yeah. did work fine. It did. Yeah. And in the story is, you're convincing me, because it does make sense what you're saying. It is a kick-ass story. Yeah.
And the way that I look at, I know a lot of people have complaints about the gameplay and saying, and I do too. Like, I think it's not revolutionary by any means. I think the skylines, which are pretty cool, aren't played in enough. Like, there's a lot of really cool features in the game that just kind of...
You remember, like 4 months ago when you told me this game wasn't going to come out.
Oh, yeah.
I think it should not have...
I was wrong on that.
I think it shouldn't have come out. I think they should have waited. And cause it's very, very clear that they finished it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That they're like, we have to finish this. Skylines aren't really working, but we have to finish this game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the mechanic with her health deteriorating isn't really working. Scrap it.
Yep.
Like, so I feel like it sold itself in the development process as being very ambitious.
Yeah.
And it was very ambitious, and they couldn't do it in time.
But you know, I'm having these arguments with myself where I'm saying like, oh, all this was promised. Like, what about, you know, when they're saying like, oh, Elizabeth would, you know, like you're saying, you know, have issues. Like, okay, here's another example. Like, there's supposed to be moments where you're walking through the world and people are kind of going about their daily business. And then if you don't interrupt them, then you can kind of just pass on through and not cause a scene.
Did you ever succeed in that? I have never actually gotten through anything without... I mean, be fair, I like stealing shit, and that's the problem.
Right.
Like, hitting the guy says, hey, don't steal that, or I'm going to kick your ass. And I'm like, well, I have a shotgun, so...
Yeah, exactly. I never had an occurrence where I was like, I'm going to be a good guy. But what I feel like this game did so well, as opposed to so many other games that go down this morality route, is... they set you up as a bad guy, like a dude who sucks through and through. Mm-hmm. Like he has a history. He's not a good man.
But you also don't really find that out until like the end. I mean,
the pieces are always gradually there in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the voxophones, you know, everything works. The visual cues that are around his office and stuff like that just eventually build up to that, you know, moment at the end where you're like, oh my god, like that's what all this meant.
Mm-hmm.
But like I was saying, I was having this argument where I'm like, you know, everything that they promised sounded so cool. Like, oh, your interaction with her ends up creating this like never explored before morality between gameplay and character interaction. And then they kind of scrapped it and they're like, yeah, she can use her powers the entire time. Fuck it. Or they're like, you know, you can move around the world and sometimes you can interact with things and it'll create like a disturbance and you have to fight people. Otherwise you can go around and just kind of sneak through stuff. And then, essentially it's like, fuck it. You're going to be fighting everything and getting everything regardless. Yeah,
that ends like right away.
Yeah. So, but then I also then tell myself, I think it's a better game for it. Like, if I was constantly in firefights saying, like, oh, crap, I'm about to die, should I use Elizabeth to pull in this turret or this box of health? No, I'll just let myself die and restart. Like,
right.
That
You're
seems
right.
like more of a narrative and
or a game,
like storytelling to gameplay breaking thing where it's just like, okay, I will save her by doing this thing that makes the game more difficult and annoying for me.
Uh-huh.
So I think that everything was done in service of better gameplay. And that's why I think that BioShock Infinite is the perfect combination of BioShock and BioShock 2. 2 nailed the gameplay down. You got mm-hmm. your thing in one hand, your gun in the other hand,
yep.
your interesting combat puzzles. In 1, you've got a world, a narrative, a story. And then in Infinite, it ties everything together. Nothing is really revolutionary in terms of gameplay, because we've seen it all before.
It's just a good game.
Yeah, all the pieces form to make one giant Megatron of awesome, Ultrazord of awesome gameplay stuff.
Yeah.
And the story is just fucking awesome.
I think my favorite part of the game was the part before they see the mark on your hand.
Yeah.
When you were talking about when you can sort of walk around and you get in a little trouble with the people, but like before the cops get sicked on you and then everybody's angry. And yeah, I liked that first part when I was just walking around exploring stuff. And the voxophones are my favorite part, I think, finding them and the infusions and like figuring out the puzzle parts. I like, when I say puzzle parts, it's really just finding enough lockpicks.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
Yeah.
Then they start giving you lockpicks ridiculously near the end of the game.
Yeah.
Like, you constantly have all maxed out lockpicks and no doors to use them on.
I got a question. Yeah. Can you backtrack to areas to, like, unlock,
sort
like, let's say,
of.
A chest or something?
You can go so far.
Like, the very, very beginning of the game, you don't see again. You can't see again until, like, in the middle of the game.
Well, it's not quite that. It's more like, you enter one area and it's a huge zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the end of the zone. It's like, are you sure you want to move forward? And then you can run all the way back to this. It's humongous. Like, it's a lot bigger than you would imagine a game like this would do. So it is impressive in that respect. But is it still instanced to smaller areas? Yes, it is.
Okay.
Like, if you get to the end of the game, you can't go back to the beginning of
the game. The only thing that keeps you from backtracking is elevators, I think.
Yeah.
You can go back down some of them, but like the first elevator you take, you can't get back. But you do eventually end up in that spot again when you're.
But it's essentially a different spot,
right?
So
yes, actually, not as literally.
Yeah. Matt, you should play that game.
I feel like you guys are just getting my hopes up really high, and then like
really, I feel like I was not super complimentary.
You were saying positive. Anyone who says positive things about something, it just gets my
hopes
up.
It's a good game,
but,
and you should play it. And you should honestly, you should buy it so that people – I like this one and Tomb Raider actually are games where I was like, I'll buy this just because I want these people to keep making games like this.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I got my copy.
Support the developer.
Yep. I turned that box art inside out. Now it's good.
You can do that?
Yeah, inside it's good box art, outside it's bad box art.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We'll have to check
that out.
What's
the inside?
It's
art.
Yeah. It's kind of like a printing press version of it looks like a 1970s book cover, like real kind of chunky, blocky images on it, and I don't want to say what it is of, but it is of a lot of like airships and air worlds and the songbird and stuff like that, and it is of a very cool moment in the game, but it's depicted as if it's like a printing press version of that moment instead of like dude with a shotgun.
Yeah.
So there was one thing you said, the marking on his hand, and I've played through twice now. And there's a choice that you make that either you keep the mark or you actually get stabbed in your hand and then you have a bandage around your hand for the rest of the game. I'm just like, that's odd to me that that's like one of the decisions you make that plays through the entire game. Like, that's all. It's just a bandage or a mark. And I'm wondering if there's any symbology.
Isn't that kind of the way most of the decisions happen, though? Because, right, there's not multiple endings. So what do the decisions do? They just change the way the story is told. There's multiple storylines that all converge at the end. I guess we can't really talk about it.
I don't know.
I should probably finish it.
You should finish it.
Yeah. I mean, I've read the ending, but I need to finish it.
I'm so gonna shit all over this story when I beat this game.
You're so grumpy.
That's probably what's gonna happen.
There's an explanation for the end for the choices you make, but
I challenge you to understand the ending the first time you play it.
So we're getting a fax.
Taking a pause.
Fax. Well, I'm just
gonna play it, right?
Of course, I'm gonna play it. I'll probably beat it at least a couple times, but
yeah.
I really don't like it when there's something that everyone likes, and I don't have access to it for months.
Yeah. That's your own decision, though.
Yeah, it is. It is my own decision. But
it's not like your mom took away your Xbox and said, no more Xbox.
Yes, she took it away and put it on a high shelf, and I'm too short to reach it, yes. But
I'll tell you, having played through, first I played through normal. That was decently easy. Played through on 1999 mode, the hardest mode there is, ridiculously unforgiving and hard, and you have to be very meticulous. And now I'm flying through it on easy mode. Like, you just don't die on easy. It's so funny.
Were you frustrated ever by some cheap shots?
What do you mean?
Sometimes the handyman, there was one specific
once
segment.
You learn how to handle the handyman.
But it was not a matter of me not handling the handyman. It was a matter of the handyman like jumping under the roof and smacking me. And then,
I never had that.
Like, surprise, I'm a handyman. Bah! And you're dead. Like,
one of the handymen in 1999 mode, it's like the third one you face, I think. I got real lucky because it's a really hard battle in general. And I was like, this is probably going to be the hardest there is that this game has to offer. So there was about 10 guys on the screen, and I did some vigors, and the handyman was in the middle of them. And then I had a vigor, the Bucking Bronco, and then I shocked a guy, and then I shot him. And it like made everyone explode, and the handyman went flying off the map, and that was it. I didn't have to handle it.
Awesome.
Yeah, like, didn't even have to do anything with it.
That's sweet.
Yeah, got real lucky.
There were a couple where I was like, oh, that's lame. You just fucking killed me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I could also just be bad at the game, which is very possible.
Yeah, you suck. Just don't play that.
The thing about the handyman too on the hard mode is you have to, if you notice, there's always skylines going around the entire map area of where you're facing him. Just keep moving him, and then he'll jump up to like electrocute the line and make you come down. Mm-hmm. And as he's jumping up, you get like a 5-second window of him doing nothing, and you can just unload on him. That's my basic strategy for killing them.
Anyway, so did you play another game?
Or just Bioshock? Quickly, one quick thing about Bioshock. So if listeners remember, way back in time, Brittany Relitz used to podcast with us.
Mm.
And I was talking to her recently. And one of the things I noticed she had said in regards to BioShock was she was standing in line at a store and had a BioShock t-shirt on, or had a was talking about BioShock or something like that, mentioning it or conveying it that she liked the thing.
Uh-huh.
And there's a guy.
Wait, that's the Britney?
No, you're okay. Probably. Are you talking
I'm thinking
about
of the famous person who had a bunch of retweets? She told the ending to everyone.
Yeah,
to
this is guy. Britney did the same thing where she said she was standing in line. Somebody commented on how like, oh, she's probably never just played it. She's faking because she's a girl. And she said, "Hey, this is how it ends." And the guy is like, "Oh, I didn't finish it." And she's like, "Well." Fuck you, because I did, and I like video games, so good on her for doing that.
So there was another person who did that?
Yeah, yeah.
What was her name, though?
I'm sure it hasn't happened solely in one case.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that just, because I remember hearing that story, and everyone retweeted it. Like, everyone I follow on Twitter retweeted it.
Yeah. I don't know that person was that got so much publicity from it, but I know that if you search through the timelines, Brittany said it first.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, good way of dealing with those real life douchebags.
Yeah, that's why I don't live in real life.
That's right.
Don't have to handle douchebags.
Thank God
douche
for that,
bags.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Ryan, you've been doing anything besides BioShockers?
Well, I've been. I watched all of Breaking Bad.
That's thank God,
Jesus Christ!
Yeah. You did
like
the right thing.
45 seasons.
There's only episodes. Like six or five or what?
There's four seasons on Netflix.
Yeah.
Mm. So you know, in the past 2 weeks, that's what I've done.
It's been a while. It's true.
Yeah. The season ending on season four, the last episode I watched right before I got here, was amazing.
Yep.
Like, loved it.
Season five, not as good.
No?
It's going downhill.
Well, it's the last season, so.
Yeah.
But, oh well.
Yeah. Other than that, that's my video game and television.
And you played Tomb Raider, didn't you?
I played Tomb Raider. I played BioShock. Played a couple iOS games. It's been a while since I've been on the podcast. So.
Mm-hmm. What'd you play on iOS? I'm curious.
I did play Ridiculous Fishing after your recommendation.
Hell yeah. Was it Ridiculous?
And then Melodive.
Say that again.
Or Melodive. I don't know.
Melodive. Oh, have the French expert say it.
Oh,
Melodive.
Did you get a new phone too? Is that you have
yeah,
an iPhone 5?
Yeah, I did get
5?
A new phone. The other plumbers, or the other brothers, which is a fun platformer in the way of, you know, Mario Brothers.
Oh, I get it. I get it. The other brothers.
Yeah, no, but it's good though. It's not just like a port or a
what
rip-off.
What do they do for a living?
Sorry, that reminds me. In Evoland, there is a Triple Triad knockoff. If any of you know what that means,
no.
Nope.
No.
Final Fantasy VIII, greatest card game minigame.
Oh,
video
oh
games
God.
Ever.
Ah.
It's, sorry.
That. Anyway.
I was thinking about it, I was like, man, if Square could do something to save their goddamn business, it would be release Triple Triad for the iPhone. I would pay $10 for that game.
Wow.
For straight up Triple Triad.
You can play against other people.
That is $5 less than
no?
I don't care. Sure.
Play against a computer.
Anything Triple Triad, I will pay a lot of money for.
Wow.
God.
So that is the thing.
Yeah, that is a thing.
The controls on this game are kind of I maybe this is a thing that platformers done the iOS do now, but mm-hmm. I really really like the D-pad follows my thumb
mm-hmm.
as I move around. I thought that was cool, and I'd never seen it before. I haven't really played it very much because honestly, it's hard. Platformers are hard on the iOS.
Just gonna say that's I don't like doing that.
I don't like pushing like virtual buttons, but
Nobody
one,
does.
The other one that I've honestly been playing was Injustice: The Gods Among Us.
Oh, nice!
Yeah,
it's free today. Yesterday,
it's very much a vehicle for making more money off of their platform one, but still fun and really really simple. And I it's addictive. I mean, it's I just like punching superheroes with other superheroes.
Is it a fake D-pad and buttons?
Nope. No, it is. The combat is insanely simple. You only have two attacks.
Okay.
And a block.
Cool.
So it's a tap to do your whatever weak attack and a swipe to do your long attack and then two fingers blocks. And that's
it. Essentially, you're playing that so you can unlock more costumes.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I don't have the other game, but yes, that is the idea. And it's like weirdly a trading card game.
Oh.
So you can only play with characters that you get cards for. All
right.
And then that's how they make money off of it.
Oh, you have to buy the cards?
Booster packs. Oh, yeah.
Gross.
Sometimes you get them for beating certain people. You get a card.
Ryan, are you downloading it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's I don't know. I'm having fun with it. I'm going to beat it.
You play the game Instagram? I just got Instagram. That game's weird.
I used to play Instagram a lot.
Shouldn't play that.
Anyway, Tomb Raider.
I don't know how to beat
that. Tomb Raider, have we not discussed at all?
Nope.
Really?
The only thing that's been said is Matt said something like, I should play it.
It's really good. Like, I don't, because I don't have a PS3, I never get to play Uncharted. Mm-hmm. So, and that's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
It's just an Uncharted.
It's filling your Uncharted hole.
Now, the issue that you were having with her, like, the reason you don't want to play it is not...
It's the marketing. It's not the game.
Yeah. The game actually has, like, zero of that, and it's, like, really very much about how strong a person she is and how she keeps going, even though she's got, like, fucking shit sticking out of her. Mm-hmm. Like, That happens right away. She gets a stick like through her torso.
Yeah,
and that is the only issue I have. If you're playing a Tomb Raider game and you're like, "This is unbelievable," then you're an idiot. I mean, like, that's the way it goes. But it is very unbelievable. There are things you cannot do as a human being that she does.
Yeah, but isn't part of Tomb Raider, the new Tomb Raider, like, she's just a real person going through this real life situation, and we want to make a character who's believable and realistic and not this over the top caricature and not like the lucky everyman like Nathan Drake, but like a real girl who goes through growth and
she's
changes from the beginning to the
end. Absurdly lucky. It's very much an Uncharted, like, where you fall through this wooden hole thing and then you slide down like 100 feet and don't get impaled by anything. Although if you mess up, you get impaled. It's very graphic.
Yeah.
Or like you'll get
super
shot in the
graphic.
Head and yeah.
The death animations.
I enjoyed
make
the story.
You want to be more careful with Lara, right?
I guess
because they're
just,
so gruesome.
It's just like, whoa, fuck! Like she's in that river and she ran into the side and there were sharp branches there and it goes through the bottom of her jaw and like out her head, like it's.
Yeah. But then it's like ultra gross too because she's like scrabbling at
yeah,
it, like trying
like,
to grab the stick
yeah,
as it's going
weird.
Through her head,
it's,
and you're like, people don't do that.
I died. I mean, I don't think it. I want to not die so as to continue the game.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a problem with like protecting her. I mean, that was never really an issue. I saw that sequence a lot. That was the hard part. She died many times.
One.
Or there are a couple where like somebody will slash you with a machete and it'll like get stuck in you and But it was really cool, Zelda-y, Uncharted-ish. Zelda-y in that there were places that you couldn't get to.
Oh, like Metroidvania.
Yeah. Until you had certain tools or they were really hard to get to. There's not a lot of puzzle solving. There's only puzzle solving in the optional tombs that you can raid. And it's usually only one puzzle mechanism. So you just figure this one thing out, and then you get the reward.
I'm
checking
it out because I used to think that Tomb Raider was just puzzles.
Tomb Raider used to be just puzzles.
When you say puzzle mechanism, do you mean like a gameplay mechanism? Like you learn how to use counterweights, and then you have 15 counterweight puzzles, or is it? It is one counterweight.
Oh, no.
Puzzle.
Yeah, there's one counterweight puzzle, and then the next one's a different puzzle.
Okay. And this one's like a leverage puzzle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or there's a water
block up the water flow.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Physics.
It's not, they're not hard at all.
Gordon Freeman.
Yeah. That kind of stuff.
Okay.
I actually check that game out now.
The story is really good. That, like, I liked it a lot. Less so because of her development but more so because the other characters are really interesting. And there's journals, and it's voxophones, essentially, yeah, that you pick up from all the people in her crew, and then some
people...
Do you
have to read them, or are they aloud to you?
They are said aloud to you.
Okay.
So, my soapbox is dissonance between gameplay and storytelling. And I've heard this game is a flagrant abuser of, like, a situation where your story is saying, oh, she's just a naive young girl who has to grow up way too fast because she's got to murder fuckers.
Yep.
And then,
there is a point in the game where suddenly she's just fine with it.
Yeah, the switch is flipped immediately instead of it being a gradual thing.
Yes. She kills one person and then she's totally fine with killing people.
Yeah.
That is a pretty emotional scene. But
so I say heard. The second's much easier than the first.
I suppose. Da, 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 da. My suspension of disbelief ceased mostly because of the athleticism she displays.
Okay.
Like they're like jumping from one cliff to the other and catching it with your ice axe. No ice. She's just using an ice axe to drive into rock. That's not possible. You can't do that.
Could
as
be
a human,
really strong
you will
ice
lose
axe.
Your arms. Your arms will come off. I
is
mean,
there,
Assassin's
is,
Creed is like that to some extent, off. Too. There's some shit that's like, oh, that's not a human. Can't do.
Yeah.
Human can't do that.
But, Assassin's Creed is magic, though.
But Assassin's Creed is, I don't know, it doesn't do it to the ridiculous level that this one does.
Yeah. I mean, Bioshock is the same way.
I really, really liked the Tomb Raider kind of tapped that Assassin's Creed part of me that really, really likes settings and eras that aren't discussed in games very often. It's a Japanese like kabuki oni like
Shinto.
There are actually oni that are like what do you think are oni in the game that defend this place. It's really cool. I don't know. It's just something that we don't see very often. Even from Japanese games.
It's like a Bermuda Triangle sort of world where it's like, oh man, there's UFOs and shit here, but are they?
Yeah, except for, it's not aliens.
Right.
But it's like, is it magic or is it in it and that kind of stuff.
Kabuki Man NYPD. Oh, sweet.
Like that, you know what I mean? Except for, they don't ever really, I don't know, I'm not going to give it away. But it is that kind of like where one person's like, this can't be magic. And then the other person's like, it's totally magic. And you're like, I don't know.
And the other person's like, let's get a sandwich.
Yeah.
Zoinks. Mm.
I could go for some guacamole.
Shit, man. I'm so hungry.
Fuck guacamole.
So I liked that one also to the point where I'm going to buy it.
Nice.
Just because, I want to see another one, you know?
Yeah. I would like to see another one too. Just not marketed like
so
horse shit.
Yeah. Agreed.
Did you... So are you getting those to the Gamefly, you said?
I did. I don't know if I'm going to buy them through Gamefly. I sent Tomb Raider back. So.
Okay. So you have to purchase them somehow at this point, not through Gamefly.
Yeah. Also play Devil May Cry or DMC.
Yeah.
You mean DMC, Devil May Cry?
Right. Yeah.
Get it right, dude.
Did you love it?
Did I love it? Is that what you said? It's not really my kind of style of game.
Oh, fair enough.
I'm not a hack and slash dude very much. I would say it gets repetitive, but that's not true. If you play it correctly, you can do all kinds of shit. It's just I'm not very good at that, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it's repetitive in that it doesn't stray away from hack and slash.
Right. It's like, these are some guys. Kill them.
Right.
Some guys.
But it does a really good job of being like, hey, fight guys. Okay, do crazy platforming. Right. Okay, here's story. Okay, fight guys. Platforming,
and then, like,
story.
Find a new way to kill these guys in a really cool, pretty way.
Yeah.
Or like,
and each time they kind of change things up slightly. So it's like, oh, no, it's platforming with a clock. And you're like, whoa,
shit. I think it's a good game. It's not my thing.
Have you beat it?
I haven't.
Oh, the story is so good.
No,
I do like the story, too. Although I feel like it's
no
pretty
Bioshock.
Obvious. I mean,
yeah. Oh,
there's
definitely.
A bad guy. And you're going to kill the bad guy, right? Isn't it like Bowser, essentially?
Yeah. What?
Right?
It's exactly like Bowser. It's 100%. You meet Bowser right in the beginning of 1-1, and then by the end of it, he smashes his ass down through a bunch of blocks and lands in lava.
That's actually what happens?
That's what happens. That's the
actually
Devil May Cry story.
The lava.
Right? Though, I mean, seriously, it's a bad guy, and you meet him at the beginning, and then you eventually get to beat him.
Oh yeah, it's but I think it's done really well because the entire time you feel like it needs to happen, or it should happen, or it's about to happen, but it never does. And then finally, they give you that release, and they're like, you know what's coming. And there's like that one line that's said, and you're like, oh, it's on now. And then you have that fight, and you're like, this is what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, so I guess I haven't played it very much. I only played it for like 3 days, so maybe I haven't gotten to that point yet.
How far are you?
Like 72 hours?
No, not even a little bit. I think I'm right now I'm in the soda factory. So
like level six.
You're just getting into the part where it gets good, but then it gets really slow and then it gets really good again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So keep at it.
All right.
Put it on easy or whatever. Like, just fuck it, man.
No, it's not like I'm not even dying. It's just like, okay, you know, like I'm not
so
easily entertained by that stuff.
Are you what you're saying is like doing crazy combos isn't really your thing.
Right. And it's like just like Ninja Gaiden. Yeah. I'm not a super fan of just because it's a little too complicated for me finger wise, I guess.
Surprisingly, Guacamelee is the same way. You know, it's deceptively difficult. Matt, really?
Yeah, there were some frustrating parts.
We cheesed the hell out of that last boss fight we played.
Oh yeah. Well, actually, I think that boss was scaled for us.
It doesn't scale.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Because I remember playing him when you were dead, playing by myself, and I got him down to like 3/4 health. Like he had a quarter limit.
I think that fight would have been easier single player.
Yes, because I it seemed like he scaled up.
No, I don't. I've heard through other sources that they don't scale.
Hmm.
So maybe they do, but
then you had that part where you kick across the air and you have to go between the statues
and switching dimensions and shit.
Yeah, like,
that was so good.
I did not.
Thanks
like
for
that.
Doing it at all.
That's yeah. I did.
So that's what I played.
Well, I think that covers everyone.
Definitely.
Yes.
You guys want to talk about some news?
Sure.
Cool.
News. I'm down.
Matt, you got some news you wanted to mention?
Specifically?
Or which one? I don't know.
Well,
I don't remember.
Okay, like Game Informer had their cover, and it's picture of the new Batman game, which is called Batman Arkham Origins.
Arkham World.
Yeah, surprisingly, it has Arkham in the name, and it takes place. And,
is it actually Arkham World? I should stop interrupting you. I'm really sorry.
Well, it says Arkham Origins. Is
Batman Arkham Origins.
Yeah. It probably takes place mostly in Gotham City, but who knows where it goes. But I guess the whole story is that there's like 8 of the world's deadliest assassins come and try to kill Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an origin story, of course.
Don't they know he's Batman? Like,
well, this is when he starts out. So no one does. Okay. He's not well known.
Gotcha. So it's like Batman Begins Arkham Asylum.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
But I believe this game is supposed to be like the Silver Age also.
Cool. I thought that it was, I think that might be 2 separate games, or at least the Silver Age was something that was never essentially realized. No, not realized, but just like, hey, we're taking inspiration from the Silver Age. Uh-huh. Like, we want a Batman that is like a young, less experienced, grittier Batman that's kind of learning the ropes and having to go through his bat steps. You know, he is a brawler, he's a fighter, his gadgets are more James Bondy in the early era and less like, I press this button and all the computers turn into space holograms of bat people or whatever.
Or maybe Rocksteady is making a Silver Age Batman game. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and that's the other side of the rumor is maybe Rocksteady is making a Justice League themed 50s, you know, Silver Age Batman where it's like you're recruiting all the Justice League and interacting with them on the hella old school level.
I would also play the shit out of
when Batman had a fucking gun.
What?
Yeah. He did.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a gun.
His superpower was, hey, I have a gun.
No way. Did he ever fire it?
Shit, yeah, he killed all sorts of people. I think his first comic book, he threw 2 people off a skyscraper.
Batman.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, he was more hardcore back then. He was a softie.
Gosh.
But, yeah. Well,
he probably broke fewer bones. just bat killed gun. People.
Yeah, bat that's gun. True. Yeah, it's that's, a lot more efficient.
That always blows my mind about the Arkham City and Arkham Asylum. It's just like how many people you fucking made vegetables. Like, oh, I don't kill people, but I've just like smashed your nose into your.
I reduced them to essential corpse.
Like, yeah, when you're gonna never gonna not drool now.
Batman Arkham Hospital.
It's like, yeah, the Batman like Arkham Asylum like sim game where you're just making new wards and having to allocate resources to trying to save these like slowly dying prisoners.
God, I shouldn't have beat the shit out of these people.
I just like to think that Batman's beating the shit out of an unconscious man in the face, telling him to talk.
But, no. Wake up! Where is she?
I don't know if you guys watched any video for Injustice Gods Among Us, the game that's out this week.
I have.
I just downloaded it.
The video or the game?
The game.
Are you like ready to play
to
it
be
or the
clear,
demo?
The
No. I mean like the real game.
I didn't know there was a real. Yeah, the platform game.
They released a trailer like 3 days ago that was the opening cinematic thing to the game with Batman interrogating Joker and then Superman like cutting in and having his interrogation time with Joker. Nobody saw this.
Haven't seen it.
Okay,
I've only watched gameplay videos.
Okay, well, Joker's voice is not done by Mark Hamill.
Nope, it isn't.
So
it
seems really fucking weird.
Yep, it just doesn't work, especially when you've got Kevin Conroy as Batman.
Yep.
And you've got Tim Daly as Superman, and then it's just like, who the fuck's this guy?
Yeah, but even Superman Tim Daly seems super flat.
Really?
Like, there's none of that old school, like, Superman bravado. Like it's,
yeah. Do you follow the cartoons a lot?
Or not since 1999?
Just
no, not really.
He's Superman now because been doing it for 20 years. Yeah, it's the same thing as Kevin Conroy.
Well, No, Batman is spot on. Like his is fine, but I think that the Superman one is super lackluster.
Uh huh. He's not very super when he's talking. He's more Clark Kent.
Oh, okay.
I guess. Yeah, and I think Mark Hamill ruined the Joker for me forever.
Why?
Because nobody's ever going to be Mark Hamill.
Mm-mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, I listened to the video and
he is the Joker.
The Joker
in my
talking,
head.
And you're like, you're doing a really good Joker impression. Like, hey.
But it's just not it.
Slow
it's
clap. Like, well done. This isn't it, though.
Nope. And I don't think anybody ever will be again, and that really makes me sad.
Which is a bummer because you're
something
like,
I've seriously thought about.
What's Mark Hamill doing?
No,
Star Wars.
Old.
No,
yeah, he's gonna be in it.
He agreed it. Whatever. He agreed to it.
Joker's it's gonna be awesome. Star Wars.
It's gonna be so great. Yeah, it makes me sad because he is the Joker, and all the other Jokers are just
jokes
imitating. Yeah. Well, the real Joker, please.
Maybe he was in when he was after his Darksiders stint. He's like, I'm over video games.
He's over the Joker. He's retired.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That Arkham City was officially his last work as the Joker.
No.
He announced it.
No.
Yeah. It sucks.
That friggin' sucks.
It sucks because it's gone. The Joker sucks now. Nobody's gonna laugh like that. It's the creepiest laugh.
All right. I say you just Jeff Bridges this shit where you like digitize him.
Like, we could probably continue to do Joker by just taking words that he said in other voiceovers.
Okay, Warner Brothers, right? They're the ones who are Disney, right?
Right.
So
wait, Warner Brothers is Disney now too?
Wait, is that
no?
I don't think so. No,
Time Warner and Disney are
the
big ones.
Oh damn. Okay. Well, then they'll share technology. Of digital Jeff Bridges, and they'll get like digital Mark Hamill voice and make that the Joker forever.
God, I miss it. Every time I think about it, I miss it. It's weird that I have such strong feelings about
a little
voice actor.
A little awkward.
Do you watch a lot of the animated series?
I've seen all of them, and I own all of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
So, it's kind of a thing.
So you're excited about Batman.
Every time I hear Kevin
Arkham
Conroy's
Origins.
Voice as Batman, I'm like, yes, because this is the right Batman.
Mm. It's good Batman.
It's good Batman. He does the right mix of like, oh, I'm Bruce Wayne, and then like, I'm Batman, but not like that, because that's stupid.
I like, I'm Batman.
Part of Man.
I'm Part of Man.
So, Matt, this isn't Rocksteady that's doing this game, is it?
It's Warner Brothers Montreal. So I don't remember what they've done.
What is with Montreal? We got Ubisoft in Montreal. We got Warner Brothers.
It's because Canada subsidizes game development.
But no Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto is more indie.
I gotcha. Interesting. They subsidize game development?
Yeah.
Well, I need to move. Well, like,
if you go to college in Canada and you graduate from a Canadian school and you're a Canadian citizen, and then you go on to work for a Canadian game company, they will help front costs and also pay for part of your education. What? In the same way that England will subsidize public radio, public television, stuff like that, but less aggressive and totalitarian.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I'll let somebody else talk now.
Sorry, in other news this week, not really this week, but Far Cry Blood Dragon. I don't know if you guys are aware of this.
It'd be awesome.
Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon was initially showed kind of on April 1st as a joke.
Yep.
With this 80s style, glam rock art style and G.I. Joe, He-Man kind of premise for its interaction with the world. And now it's a real thing. Some Russian hacker dudes broke into Ubisoft through a back end through, Uplay? And they found real stuff. Yeah. And then Ubisoft was like, okay, you got us. It's a real game. And it's...
This is just for us, but I guess you guys could have it.
There's a trailer out there, and it just looks fucking awesome. Like, it's running on Far Cry 3 assets, essentially, that have been retooled to look like a bunch of neon tigers and laser guns. And your dude has a robot arm, and he punches another dude with a robot arm, and... it looks like a lot of great 80s cartoon homages. I like that. It's coming out April 30th for download only. You don't need to own the previous game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
So it's going to be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I'll buy that three times.
Like, it might be a better game than Far Cry 3.
I bet it will be.
Only in that it's going to be shorter and hella stupider.
That's what all I wanted. That's all I wanted. God, I wish this was less intelligent.
Matt, Luke, you said LucasArts shut down Star Wars 1313 and I guess all of their game development studios.
Really?
LucasArts have been shut down.
Mm-hmm. Because,
Force Unleashed, you know, they were part of the whole...
Of course, George Lucas started that all, and then he sold all that to Disney. And Disney hasn't been really doing well with their game development, you know, with the Epic Mickey games. So they are kind of concentrating on, you know, movies.
So why don't
we
just shut down the thing that we just bought that has actually been somewhat successful?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me.
But I don't know if you saw the gameplay clip, but I think maybe it was last E3, but they showed off a game called Star Wars 1313. It looked like it was going to be a next-gen game.
It was like Uncharted, but... with Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
It looked really good.
So like a smuggler. Really,
yeah, essentially. Yeah.
But after it was canceled, it was revealed that it was going to be a story revolving around Boba Fett, and everyone kind of just said, that would be really boring. You're just going to keep going back to the...
A lot of people figured out already that it was a Boba Fett story, where they're like, 1313 mm-hmm. was his clone designation.
Really? Gotcha. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And there is a couple other things like... The Boba Fett got his start in the bowels of Coruscant, which is where the game kind of started. And so people had already kind of knew that it was but it was never confirmed.
Maybe it would have been a good game, even if it was revolving around that. But
yeah. Hell yeah, if you make a Boba Fett Uncharted game, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
But unfortunately, that happened. So sad news.
That is
course,
sad. That's really sad. Yeah. Fucking Disney, goddamn it.
Yeah.
And Execute Order 66.
It sucks when anything gets shut down, but it also is like, what has LucasArts done that's been good in the past, five years?
Some people like The Force Unleashed.
I liked them.
I like those games.
Both of them.
I like them too, but as B-tier at best games.
Yeah.
I suppose.
and
they're not heavy hitters. I mean, what was the last heavy hitter they had? Dark Forces.
Star Wars Connect was the last game they really were invested in.
Ah.
So I enjoyed video of that game.
Didn't they also make the Pod Racer game for Kinect? Did they, or was that somebody else?
Oh, that's true. That was probably last. Really
that was part
big
of
success.
Star Wars Kinect. Pod Racer,
you're right.
Pacer
yes.
game was part
yes,
of
it.
It was the dancing game.
Was it
that the stupid Force lightsaber on? Yes. And then I think one more mini game that I forget what it was.
There was a dancing mini game.
Yeah, it was all part of that entire package. God, dancing mini game was the best part. I'm going solo. I'm Han Solo.
That's just terrible.
The Jason, the Weird Al Yankovic style parodies of Star Wars songs were absolutely the best part of that.
Wow.
News out of Japan: Sony is offering a 2 gig fiber internet connection, which is better than Google's and cheaper than Google's.
This is in Japan, so I can't
only
have this.
Only in Japan.
Ah, cool.
It's like a $600 installation fee that's waived if you're an early...
What are they trying to do exactly that they don't have a fast enough connection right now?
Yeah, right?
Seriously, I'm dead serious. Have you ever been like, oh, my internet's so slow?
I have, yeah. All the time.
I guess. But that's just because Mediacom sucks.
Well, yeah. But I would love a faster internet. Here, it's just like... No, I thought you were saying, like, why does Japan need faster internet? They already have great infrastructure.
That's also true.
So... Mm-hmm.
I would like to have some glass fibers here, please.
Hell yeah. Yeah. So, hopefully, what this means is... The market is getting ready for a faster internet worldwide.
I don't know.
With Google Fiber hitting Kansas.
Yeah. I'm not sure Japan's a very good example or cross-section of the rest of the world, especially America, when everything's so compact and so already built up in Japan. And America's not like that at all.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm just saying, like, hey, this is cool because... They're doing what Google's doing, but better.
Better. Sweet.
Unfortunately, we'll probably never see it. No. So.
Because why would you... If you were like a hospital or something, you would need that. But if you're just a Joe Schmo living at home, you don't need that.
I need it.
No, you don't.
I want...
You were perfectly fine
one,
without Google
2 gigs
Fiber.
Up, 1 gig down. Or sorry, 2 gigs down, 1 gig up.
It would be amazing. I want this game. I have this game.
Yeah, just I Dream of Genie, that shit. Or Bewitched or something, I forget. But
now that you do mention it, those PlayStation downloads and downloading the game from Xbox
essentially,
Live,
it's only going to get bigger with the amount of shit you have to download in the future. So
you think with internet speeds, it's all just going to be streaming. That's what I would assume. Like, don't download anything.
Yeah, bandwidth. I mean, as things are moving close. Into a realm of, hey, it's just streaming, like having, and then also it's like, okay, so what, everybody here has Mediacom and they're like, you get 20 gig or 20 meg down, 1 gig up stream, right? Or sorry, right. I'm just saying gig, it's meg, it's garbage. But how often is it actually running at that? Because when I benchmark mine, it's like 14 tops, usually 7.
Yep.
I'm like, hey, that's about dial-up, you know. I know it's not that bad, but it's like, Jesus. Man, that sucks.
And mine just craps out occasionally.
So imagine if you have a 2 gig up, you know, you if you run at half that, you're freaking blazing.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, you know, as more and more devices are using the internet, like here in my house, it's like, hey, I've got my game console. Hunter has his game console. He's also watching a movie on Netflix and texting on his phone that's all running, or on his iPod that's all running through the internet. And, you know, Jen's on her computer doing something. Like, so as each person is plugging into that pipeline, like everybody's draining the system.
I still like physical media. I prefer it.
Hey, I do too. I'm just saying, I want a faster internet.
Ain't gonna happen.
A lot of faster internet. Last piece of news is the always on Microsoft debacle. I don't know if you guys actually want to talk about this, but it's kind of a big deal.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Xbox is always gonna be on, or the new system.
Yeah. Do you gotta go, Ryan?
Soon. Very soon.
Okay. So there's been rumors for the last several months of Xbox being a DRM-heavy, always-online console that is an anti-piracy machine.
Isn't this exactly what happened with the PS4, too, though? Before it came out, everybody freaked out.
People saying, will it have some sort of weird protection? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were still rumors going around about that. But what makes this crazier, and I want to say it's more substantial only in that it's rumors and rumors suck.
Mm-hmm.
It's this gentleman by the name of Adam Orth. He was a creative director at Microsoft, went on Twitter on Friday of last week and said, or maybe 2 weeks ago, and said, what's the deal with always on? Like, why do people not like this? And then he said a couple things along the lines of, I still buy a vacuum cleaner even though my power goes out sometimes. I still buy a cell phone even if I'm in areas that don't have perfect coverage. You know, why would people want not buy a console that's always online even if internet is sometimes spotty? So then this guy who works at BioWare Austin, I think it was...
I don't know. I didn't get that far.
Oh, God. What's his name? A guy who worked as a developer for video games said, hey, didn't you learn anything from the SimCity or... I forget what the other example he gave was, but...
Diablo?
Yes, Diablo 3, saying, mm-hmm. Hey, these were always online games. And the guy said, yeah, what about him? No, not a big deal. And he said, This guy from BioWare said, hey, you've always lived in California and LA and in Seattle and stuff that are really tightly knit infrastructure wise, really good internet connections all the time. But try living in North Carolina or Texas, and he named these small towns or something like that in these, less densely populated states, saying, and his point being, these places don't have great internet and sometimes not at all. And the guy's like, well, why would I want to live there?
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then he essentially said something along the lines of hey, world, you should try getting the internet. It's great.
Yeah. Super douchey.
Yeah. So essentially this guy just freaking hung himself out to dry publicly on Twitter and with no information existing from Microsoft about their new system, him being a Microsoft exec and then saying anything just created all sorts of foaming at the mouth situations of people being like, this is what the next Xbox is going to be. This is unbelievable. And this guy is saying suck it to everybody and all the speculations going crazy. And then it ends up turning out that he resigned whether or not. Yeah. He shut his Twitter down and then he resigned. The rumor is there was supposed to be a Microsoft event in April,
and it got postponed.
But now it's supposedly the rumors. Now it's coming out in March, late March, May. Yeah, thank you.
So really, he did everybody a favor.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If he essentially could have done a huge favor to his company by exposing that nobody wants an always on console, and now, like we were just saying, our internet isn't the greatest, but everybody has internet. Nobody pirates games here. We do our things legitimately. But the thing that really peeved a lot of people off about this was when it was also suggested that if you ever are not able to maintain a connection for 3 minutes, it drops you from your game and boots you out.
Yeah, that's
so you could be playing a single player game, and because your internet hitches up for 3 minutes, you get disconnected and kicked off of everything.
Yeah, nope. That's not cool.
Yeah.
That's silly.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's all I have to say. That is a bad thing. I do not want it.
There's another rumor going around about how it's possibly going to be subsidized through your cable provider because it has an HDMI input. So you put your cable box into your Xbox and you have a better UI for navigating DVD or DVR menus and stuff like that. So, hey, I'm fine with that. I just don't know. I don't feel great about a subsidized box.
No.
A box that's more of a media hub and less of a game system.
They've always tried to do that with the Xbox.
Yeah, though. It's always been their goal.
The internet's on
and
there.
And I have
now.
To say, just, mine is used like that exclusively at this point.
As a Netflix
box. I don't even need
box.
A computer now.
Yeah. Especially with smart glass or whatever it is.
Yeah.
There's so many ways for me to control my Xbox. I love it. I can yell at it, or I can poke my phone, or...
Yeah, it's just the problem that a lot of people are worried about is if you move too far in the direction of the media box...
You lose the games.
Then, yeah, what sort of game support is there? And if that's not the focal point, you know, what's going to be available?
Right.
So, obviously, nothing is being said by Microsoft. You know, they are not even acknowledging a new system for the most part. It's...
That's true. They haven't really... Yeah.
They've said codename Durango, and they've said we're not ready to talk about our next product, essentially. So, you know,
so they don't know.
Acknowledgement by non-acknowledgement seems to be the only thing that there is. So that whole always on, you know, hullabaloo has been circulating quite frequently, but I know we've talked about this before of like, hey, what would get you to get out of Xbox? A lot of people are saying like, I'm ready to go if this is it.
That would do it. Definitely. Yeah. Oh, God, I would have to get a different controller for my PS4.
Well,
new controller looks good.
I've been trying to change my password with Xbox, like my online thing, because it's with an AOL account that I created 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, we have no records of this account being there. Your account will soon be terminated.
Yeah, I've I'm had just to
like,
do that.
Serious? Like,
just everything's gone. It's what happens.
Yeah. Yep. Well, if I lose everything on my account that I've had for 6 years, I'll probably just go to PS3, honestly. Yeah. Yep. Like,
well, and then this last weekend, there was the Xbox was down for like 2 days. You couldn't sign into your account on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So that could not have been at a worse time.
Yeah. That's true.
And now people are saying that they think something's gone wrong with their billing information, and they can't discontinue their connection to Xbox Live. But then Xbox is officially saying, if we were not hacked, and Anonymous, you know, the internet hacker gang, has officially come out and said, like, we're not taking credit for this.
Right.
You know, so it could have just been for realsies an infrastructure issue. But, you know, it all seems kind of
something
like
weird's going on.
Bad timing and yeah, something weird's going on. So we'll see what happens here in the near future.
Stay tuned.
Only a couple months. Yep. That's going to be it for this week. So thank you all for joining me. And it was great to talk with everybody about the games we've been playing. We'll see you in, 2 weeks? Yep.
Sounds great.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.